This is the Adam Gold Show.
Rookie minicamp for the Panthers in the rearview mirror. We can now go through the schedule game by game and predict a 17-0 record. Well, maybe not. Will Brinson, my man, at Will Brinson on Twitter, Pick Six Podcast Moderator, CBSSports.com. How are you, sir?
I am doing quite well. Got to spend the weekend with some friends in High Point to celebrate the wedding of the now Will and Braden Newman. Very excited for them. They live in Raleigh, but so shout out to them. I think they're probably still in High Point, but good friends of mine who got to tie the knot this weekend.
Well, very nice. Well, if they just got married, I assume it's still High Point, and that has nothing to do with the city at all. So good for them. Good for them. All right, where were you when Tom Brady was announced to be the next Fox NFL game analyst at a cool $375 million over 10 years?
I think probably on a golf course. I'm not sure. But
wow.
I found it interesting because the announcement came as like Tom Brady's getting $35 million a year, which was, that's obviously quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's more than he made like most years in his career with the Patriots and the Bucks. But it's actually not quite as, I think there's like an interesting component to this. It's not quite as that much money like up front. It's sort of like an NFL contract in that sense. I think it's like $25 million per year or $22.5 million per year or something like that. Maybe even 27.5, whatever the case may be. Brady's salary is not $35 million per year. There are incentives built into his contract where, based on advertising and ratings, where he can earn up to $35 million a year. I find that fascinating because, it's always going to be reported the biggest number.
Right.
But then two, it's always how Brady's kind of operated throughout his career with advertisers. Like when he, Under Armour, right? He promotes Under Armour. When he and I think it's Kevin Plank is the guy who runs it, but
yes.
when he signed his Under Armour deal, he didn't sign it as like, all right, you're giving me $10 million a year and I'm going to hawk Under Armour. He signed it. He got equity in Under Armour.
Sure.
Like all of Tom Brady's advertising deals, whether it's Uggs, Under Armour, whatever it is, like whatever watch he promotes. And now with Fox, like they all have his equity built in because he wants to have a larger piece of the company. And he wants to be involved as like a salesman too. And I think those sort of deals that he brokered with those advertising, those lifestyle companies, is kind of what he pitched Fox on and what made it even more attractive to them to go ahead and lock him down as their future number one analyst.
Here's the thing about Brady and this association, because I am under no illusions that Tom Brady will be all that great as a game analyst. Like he might be. And I've said this before about Brady. I didn't like him as a personality in New England. But once he got to Tampa and he was able and encouraged to show more of who Tom Brady is, it has been eye-opening, and it made me even like more resentful that we didn't get that Tom Brady during the height of his powers, because he has been legitimately fun and engaging and entertaining on social media and in other ways. But to me, this association for Fox is simply about having Tom Brady as part of, under their umbrella. I think the smallest part of this is what he does on Sundays.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, that's what they told us with the contract, right? Because he's this brand ambassador for Fox Sports. And I had this debate on shout out ATW, but like had this debate on ATW about whether, group chat, whether it would be, whether Brady would be good. And I think several people were, I don't know the Tom Brady, I don't think he's gonna be that good. I don't necessarily disagree, but I wouldn't bet against Tom Brady doing anything. Like, I don't think Tom Brady would sign up to do this if he thought he was gonna be bad.
Right.
And I do agree with you that like the Tom Brady we got to know, not boring, bland, but like the guy in Patriots press conferences is not Tom Brady's personality. Tom Brady's like an outgoing,
yep,
like jovial, hilarious dude who, loves to, he's obviously serious about what he does, but I think he likes to goof around way more than he'd be given credit for from his time in New England. And we've seen that in Tampa Bay. But it's also like totally different. Like, you can be a great personality and a funny person and an enjoyable person to be around. That's not going to make you a good announcer in the broadcast booth. Like, it's, they're just two totally different things. And so I don't think we can know for sure whether Brady will be good. I would, you know, if I were just in a vacuum, I'd probably lean towards, I'm more inclined to enjoy, like Greg Olson, for instance.
Right.
At the same time, again, I'm not betting against Tom Brady.
No, I wouldn't either. By the way, I actually think you'll see Brady show up, this year at times. Whether Tampa plays on a Thursday and Tom shows up maybe in the Fox studio on a Friday. I think they'll do that. Greg Olson broadcast games while he was an active player. They did that famously a couple of times.
That's great, and too much. I think it was the Vikings who got really mad about it. They're like, "Oh, this is ridiculous.
Just get over it."
It's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." Greg Olson's gonna decipher your game plan. You know what you should do? Why don't you worry about running your offense, right, guys?
If you're complaining about the broadcasters, then you're probably not focused on what you need to be focused on. But look, I think this is, I have no idea if he's going to be any good, but I also think that the game part of this is the least important part of it. To me, it's the association. What else does he do for Fox? Does he show up at other things, other Fox events? Does Brady contribute in other ways? And it is about
Fox News.
Okay. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, is here. All right, now to the Drew Brees part of this. So it was reported also over the weekend that Brees is out at NBC. Now, he took to social media and said, I haven't made my decision yet. I might come back and play. I might, join the pickleball tour. Shouts to Tom Dundon, who I believe owns the pickleball tour or something like that.
Really?
I believe so. I believe Tom is involved in it. So
hey, shouts to Tom Dundon, man, and shouts to the Canes.
Absolutely. It's been a great couple of weeks. Is Breeze that good? And is it really going to be his decision whether or not he comes back to NBC?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's so now I know Peter King reported this morning, and Peter King works for NBC. So,
right.
I think he noted that he doesn't by any stretch of the imagination have like a lockdown, idea of what their broadcast team is going to do. But it does sound like, he's reported NBC might be willing to keep Breeze on, the Notre Dame broadcast, or just basically that they're clearly shaking up the studio show and shaking up the broadcast on Sunday Night Football in the wake of Al Michaels' departure to Amazon, right?
Right.
So Tirico moves from the host of the Sunday Night Football pregame show. Now he's going to be the play-by-play guy along with Chris Collinsworth in the booth for Sunday Night Football. And they also lost Fred Gaudelli. That's going to be really interesting to watch too. He went to Amazon as well. Like one of the most respected, if not the most respected, NFL producer in the game. And so we also, we see Maria Taylor slide into the hosting role. I assume Dungy and Rodney Harrison will stay. I just think they looked at, they did a year of this with Breeze and, weren't blown away, and you're paying the guy a ton of money, and it is the premier slot for NFL games. And so NBC is extremely cognizant of, making sure they have a good product out there. And, Breeze ain't coming back to the NFL either. Like,
I think
Dennis Allen was asked about it. He's like, we haven't talked to Breeze. We haven't talked to Drew or anything. Like, we know he's been tweeting, but like,
Dennis Allen said, we think he was kidding.
Yeah.
Right. Like if there was any veracity to that, the New Orleans Saints would have known about it.
Correct. So, if Drew Brees was thinking about coming back and playing for the Saints, New Orleans Saints would know that Drew Brees was thinking about coming and playing. If it was a realistic possibility that happened. Now, I mean, could the Panthers sign Drew? Like if Drew Brees is like, I want to play football, and Tom Condon is his agent, I believe. So maybe Tom Condon calls David Tepper, is like, look, man, you've got Sam Darnold, you got Matt Corral. What did you think about the Drew Brees revenge tour in Charlotte? Like, I could see David Tepper buying into that.
Well, of course he would, because it's a shiny object.
Exactly. But yeah.
No,
ooh, look at that big name.
Well, look. I mean, he probably would be a better option than anybody they had right now. So I don't know how Panthers fans would process that. I know one Panthers fan who would not process it very well, and I'll just leave her name out of it. But let me ask you a broad question.
Is that at Sad Panthers fan?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Let me ask you a broad question about NFL game analysts, because this was a question asked of me over the weekend, and I had no good answer for it. Who's good, really good, as a game analyst in the NFL? I think Romo is the gold standard. We've only really had 1 year of Greg Olsen. I think he's excellent, and it appears that he's going to be on the Fox top team with Kevin Burkhardt, also I think is excellent. I'm not sure anybody else is worth it.
I mean, you're asking me about the top
as an
top
analyst.
I mean, personally, I think Tony Romo and Jim Nantz are absolutely worth it. And
well, yeah, but I was just talking about the analyst, not the play-by-play guy.
No, I know. I'm just getting that out there on the
record. Oh, I understand. No, I love it. It's a great team.
I think one of the biggest problems that TV executives and look, you know, they're obviously good at what they do, most of them are probably very good at what they do, and there's a lot of things that go into it that, you know, besides just picking the group that's going to be on Monday Night Football or whatever, you know, picking the broadcasting group, right? I've always thought, I just think that a lot of these primetime window teams really suffer from the over Monday Night Footballization of like trying to pair the best celebrity, like pair the biggest names right together and have them call the game. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, you don't have to have two huge names calling a game, because what you need is two guys who have great chemistry and who are good at their jobs. Like, Monday Night Football years ago should have just hired Kevin Harlan, right?
Right.
Give Kevin Harlan a bunch of money, hire Kevin Harlan, put him in the booth with, for me, I think Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen are a dynamite duo.
Yep, I agree.
For Fox. And I think I think it's insane to move Olsen, who is clearly a budding superstar in this industry, to move him to the number one spot with Burkhardt, and then be like, "Sorry, buddy, we promised Tom Brady your job in a year or two."
Right.
When you're getting like great ratings and you're well thought of and all of that. And like, I think Buck and Aikman, now they are big names, and I get that. But
right.
This is not ESPN is not pairing Buck and Aikman together in like some hope of like creating a super team. They just hired like one of the best broadcast booths, and they're putting on Monday Night Football. It's probably going to be the best Monday Night Football combination in like 30 years, like since, I mean, like or however long it was, you know, yeah, since you had Madden.
Yeah, well, since Michaels, yeah, Al Michaels and John Madden. All right, quick break. When we come back, are the Panthers really in for another disastrous season? And who else might be with them? Well, one of the things I'm going to ask you, and I know we have Bears fans here in the audience, did the Chicago Bears really do nothing for their quarterback, Justin Fields? We're good. We got to talk about this next. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator, my friend. All right, sir. Did the Chicago Bears just feel like they drafted Justin Fields last year? He's got all this athletic ability. We'll just let him do it and not really care to put a better offensive line, you know, more skill. What did they do?
I mean, I don't know that they got better, I'll tell you that much.
How did they do that?
Well, you know, they obviously traded this year's first round pick the first and the second. They gave up. Let's see, they got another second from the Chargers for Khalil Mack, but they gave up the first round pick to move up and get Fields last year. You know, I think that there are some people, some smart NFL analysts, I've heard suggest, and I don't think it's insane, that maybe the new Chicago Bears regime doesn't even like Justin Fields, and that they are
very possible.
Okay, like. Going full-blown rebuild, seeing what he can do without just absolutely catering to, you know, giving him everything, like putting everything around him, and that if you, I mean, and I've been saying this for a few weeks that I think the Bears are kind of tanking. And, you know, I don't know if that means it's such a weird spot to be in, because you're a team that just drafted a, you know, a young quarterback. You know, some consider to be the number two prospect in that class,
yeah.
Or the number two quarterback prospect anyway, at least. And you're like, to give up on him after 1 year and 0 years for the new regime would be unheard of outside of the Josh Rosen thing. So I don't think we can definitely know what their plan is, but I believe Ryan Poles, their GM, must have told ownership that, you know, the McCaskey family, that this was not a, you know, 1 year quick turnaround job that he was trying to do, that this is a multi-year rebuild that the Bears have to undergo. And as such, you know, that's sort of how they're approaching it. But it's like, man, you know, it would be really difficult. It's really difficult to understand what they did if they do like Justin Fields.
Right. Okay. Yes. It would fly in the face of anything you would want to do if you thought the quarterback you had was your future. It does appear that they are acting as though, hey, look, next year's quarterback draft class is great. Let's suck, you know, get one of the top five picks. And because, I mean, there could be five or six quarterbacks going to the top 10 next year.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, you and I talked about, there was a mock draft. There have been some mock drafts you and I have bandied back and forth.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Wilson's mock draft, which is always 100% accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had I get how that happens. I don't know that this is like that incredible of a quarterback class outside of Devin Leary, of course, who I think actually will be I think if Devin Leary was like 2 inches taller,
yeah,
that he would be talked about a lot more nationally, and that he will be talked about a lot more from an NFL perspective after this year if NC State lives up to the expectations or comes close to it and he plays a full season. Anyway, it's not to get off on a Devin Leary rant, but like, yeah, the Bears drafted 2 second-round picks on defensive players,
yeah,
and then took someone named Velus Jones as a wide receiver in the third round, then didn't pick again until the fifth round. Again, like, I think it is possible that Ryan Poles came in and told ownership, like, look, we like Fields, we think he's good, but like we don't know for sure. Nobody can know, and that's the truth. And they said, we don't have a good salary cap situation. You know, these contracts that are on the roster. You look at the Bears roster, and there's like one or two like blue chip guys that
right.
You definitely can build around. Like, you know, and they're like, and we don't have a first round pick. You know, we get this other second if we trade for Cleo, we trade Cleo Mack away. But I mean, you just, you know, you don't have a lot of ammo to make your roster better. I think Ryan Poles will take a realistic approach towards that roster, knowing that they can't win right away. And if you sell ownership on that and it's a longer term rebuild, then it's okay. But again, the Justin Fields thing is such an elephant in the room.
I mean, you better be able to sell Justin Fields that we're going to try to keep you alive. Because that is not a situation that's going to go well. All right, final thing. We have about a minute left with Will Brinson. I was looking at over-under win totals. And the Panthers are still at 5.5, which is basically where they probably should be. But I'm probably more optimistic that their offensive line will be good. And if their offensive line is good, I kind of like over 5.5.
If their offensive line is good, that definitely changes things. There's also the potential, sort of like last year, where, you know, Carolina, look, they get Atlanta twice. They're going to get, you know, of course, the other team in the division.
Saints.
They have to play the Bucs. Yeah, they get the Saints twice. Yeah, blacked out.
There you go.
The South. It's possible that Deshaun Watson isn't playing in week one, you know?
Right.
And so let's say no Deshaun Watson. You're at the Giants, and then you get the Saints at home. Like, they could start 3-0. You get the Cardinals at home. Maybe Kyle, I don't know. Like, they could start 3-0 or 3-1, 2-2. There's some wins out there. I'd probably lean towards the over, but, you know, it's also a little dicey because of what the team and the coach and the quarterback are talking about.
There's no question. Matt Rhule has yet to prove that the NFL is not above Matt Rhule. Will Brinson, wonderful to speak with you. We'll talk to you next week. I appreciate your time, as always. Best to everybody. I'm glad you had a good time at the wedding.
All right, man. See ya.
This is the Adam Gold Show.